It's been such an unlikely blow. Two presidents, two disasters, the same unlucky part of the country. For President Bush, it was the wind and waters bearing down on New Orleans. For President Obama, the oil and toxins of the blown-out rig in the Gulf. How in the world is the city of New Orleans bearing up? Douglas Brinkley is one of our nation's foremost presidential historians and a professor of history at Rice University. He is also the author of The Wilderness Warrior and The Great Deluge. And New Orleans is his adopted hometown. Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning to you.
Let me start with this picture of your adopted hometown. Many, many blows to the Big Easy. Dead birds, oil-covered boots sucking out of the sand. How in the world is this city doing?
Well, most of what's happening now is south of I-10, as they say in Louisiana. So it's not in New Orleans. It's on the ragged boot heel of Louisiana, the coastal wetlands. We like to call them America's wetlands. It's, you know, our great Mississippi River bird flyaway. It's the home of our oysters and crab and shrimp families of huge shrimp farms all over down there. And then just beaches that people go to enjoy themselves. I even lived for a while in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, which is another area that's very concerned about where this oil's coming. But by and large, the region of southern Louisiana is very stressed. People are feeling hopeless, sleepless. They are anxiety-ridden. Many people that are working cleanup are getting dizzy from the oil fumes or the smells of the Gulf. And so it's a region in true peril.
Talk to me about your own gut reaction as someone who has lived there for some time. You don't live there at the moment, but you've spent a lot of time there. What does it do to you?
Well, I was angry about the oil spill because this is man-made. Now, Hurricane Katrina or Rita, any of those hurricanes, there's not much you can do. Those happen in life. The engineering failure of the levee system during Katrina was problematic because we weren't maintaining those levees right, that people thought they had a flood system in New Orleans, and they didn't. But this is a man-made disaster. It looks like a company, BP, that was skirting environmental laws. We have our government watchdog agency, the Minerals Management Service, or MMS, wasn't doing its job. There's corruption between regulating these oil platforms and from environmental laws. So that really starts angering you. And you get sad for America because we've gone through this before. We had the Santa Barbara oil spill in 1969, and the net result of that was a spat of new legislation. From that spill was born things like, the Clean Air and Water Act or the Endangered Species Act, anti-pollution acts. And yet, as time goes on, year goes on, we stop properly, taking care of these rigs, and we skirt the environmental laws, and hence it's man's error, it's sloppiness, it's corporate greed that has caused this crisis.
Stepping back as a historian, I mean, what you said a moment ago really struck me, the idea of an entire region in a state of more or less permanent stress, if we go back to before Katrina, the sense of vulnerability, this sense of livelihood, incredibly vulnerable by other sorts of industries and the corporate greed that you just talked about. Are we looking at the historical significance going forward of this region changing psychologically forever?
I'm afraid it's not going to change forever because it may be too late for Louisiana. It is a state that has been treated as if it's a colony, and I might add it's allowed itself that. What I mean is that just take a company like BP. They use Louisiana, the resources. They've cut into the wetlands. Gas and oil companies have been dredging, building canals. In fact, the biggest canal, Mississippi River Gulf Outlet, has been shut. The Army Corps of Engineers called it unsafe, and it's seen as a major culprit of flooding in Hurricane Katrina. And so you're getting the oil and gas region has abused Louisiana, yet in Alaska, lands might get abused, but the people get a big paycheck at the end of the year. They don't get any paycheck in Louisiana, and there's no banking money in Louisiana. And so all the money, people come in, gouge resources, and leave the state. And so now you're in this strange position of people in the very area getting destroyed, begging for oil and gas and offshore to continue. So they have money coming into the state.
So they can support themselves. Douglas Brinkley, a professor of history at Rice University. You know, both John and I have been sort of trying to get you to give us some emotional sense of this. Is it a fair hit on the President of the United States when the public and reporters say you're not giving us enough of an emotional response? Does that reflect on his ability to get the job done?
I think out of the gate, the president was being very, as he always is, very smart, cool, calm, and collected. I think there was too much lawyering up. Who's to blame? And BP got their lawyers, and the federal government had their lawyers. Part of the problem was government culpability due to MMS. And so I think it was fair when critics said, geez, you know, we can't the president come and meet the fishermen and spend time or seem to be more in control? There was a question of who was grabbing who by the scruff of the neck for about 10 or 15 days. Was BP in charge of this or was the federal government? President Obama heard the criticism of his seeming tepid response. And instead, he upped the ante, and I think after now his third visit, and when he made a very powerful talk sitting there eating crawfish, saying the people of Louisiana are not going to get nickeled and dimed by a corporate entity like BP, I think he's in more of the zone right now. I think the cleanup's gotten stepped up. That Allen's offering more daily information to people. So I feel the federal government is moving in the right direction at this moment. I think BP is still trying to PR its way out of this, buying ad time, never giving people facts, and not having transparency.
Indeed, and we probably have to wait a while to find out, obviously, what President Obama's legacy will be in all this. Douglas Brinkley, professor of history at Rice University, author, well-known historian, thanks very much for your help.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.